Welcome to episode 4 of the Ghost Hunter Advice Podcast. I'm your host, Tanner Rutledge. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about repeat hauntings. We'll tell a story of one that I experienced and then get into what we believe caused them and what you can do if you experience one or run across one during one of your ghost hunts. Hey guys, welcome back. So yeah, it looks like we're getting 2 episodes this week. I'm just super excited to use this new rig that I got and set up to get the mic to a more comfortable level so that I'm actually a bit more comfortable when I'm talking to you guys. So today's episode, we're going to keep talking about hauntings and we're going to talk about residual style hauntings. Last episode, I got super into the intelligent style hauntings where you actually have an entity interacting with you. This week, I want to talk a little bit more about residual hauntings. Now, this is where like a lot of classic ghost stories, a lot of classic urban legends come from. And I'm going to tell you the instance that was the most obvious residual style haunting that I ran across when I was in the field investigating a few years ago. At the time, I was working with a team that myself and a few friends had founded called Appalachian Ghost Research. And I believe I've either talked about this this particular instance before, either in one of the previous podcasts or in one of like the little bonus things that I recorded and just never published. But in this, I want to get a little bit more in detail about it. I know I wrote about it in a blog post that I believe is coming out next week. But this is back. We were with Appalachian Ghost Research. Most of us were actually also working with a Boy Scout troop as adult leaders. So we do like camping trips, help them get merit badges, teach them like kind of cool stuff. And this was actually around Halloween. So we decided since we're all ghost hunters, why not do a haunted trip and do a haunted camping trip, especially since we're in the South, we're located in East Tennessee, and we have the Chickamauga battlefield so close. And for those of you that are ghost hunters or ghost enthusiasts, you know that there's a lot of stories, there's a lot of different things that are seen and heard around old battlefields. There's a lot of things that happen. There's a lot of death surrounding the area, and there's a lot of energy that's been exerted, especially exerted toward the end of someone's life. And with so much happening in these areas, especially in the Appalachian Mountains, in the area around here, because limestone deposits and underground springs are so prevalent, which is one of the things that I'll get into later when we start talking about why we believe that residual hauntings happen and what we actually believe that they are. It's one of the reasons why you have so many of these, you know, phantom soldiers walking around. They don't appear to be talking to anyone. They don't appear to actually see anybody. They're just walking around doing what they were doing at that specific time in history when they were doing it. I mean, try to think of a better way to say that. So a residual haunting, we'll start off with the definition, is a haunting where the apparition or the activity in the area plays on a loop. And it's just, it's a repeating thing, like a woman jumping out of a window repeatedly, or soldiers being seen walking up and down trails, walking in the woods in different formations repeatedly. It can also be sounds. A lot of times around schools, you hear the sounds of footsteps walking around, or you hear the you might hear the voices of children, not necessarily trying to communicate, but maybe it's just something that got stuck and is playing on a loop, not necessarily something with a consciousness, something that has any sort of awareness of its surroundings, but something that is just playing over and over again. I don't want you to think of repeating hauntings as actual entities. It's just a natural phenomenon that we don't quite understand yet. So it's not actually paranormal, but it is where a lot of lore and a lot of old ghost stories come from. So getting back on track, this would have been, oh wow, how long ago was this? Probably, I know it was pre-2014, so this was several years ago. We were working as adult leaders with volunteering as adult leaders with the Boy Scouts, and we decided, hey, let's do let's do a haunted camping trip and let's go to Chickamauga Battlefield. Let's camp there for a weekend. We'll bring the equipment. So we'll do EVP experiments. We'll show the kids how to do different ghost hunting stuff. And we talked to the parents first to make sure everybody was cool with it and everybody was on board. They were. We actually had a bunch of parents and stuff come out with us. So we ended up getting like, I don't know, 10 teams of two at different points throughout the park where they were doing EVP experiments, playing around with the Geiger counters, the EMF equipment, and just doing a lot of the fun stuff that they'd seen on television and that they'd seen in ghost hunts. This wasn't like a serious experiment. This wasn't a serious trip at all. It was something fun to do with the kids for Halloween. And it was an area that had a lot of legends and a lot of stories told about it that we had told over the campfire in previous trips, just telling ghost stories, like you do when you camp. So we finish and didn't really get anything. There wasn't any activity in the park. Nothing happened. Nothing answered the EVPs. We just settled in for the night, put away the equipment, except for a couple of instruments. I think Seth might have kept out one of the cell sensors and a Geiger counter, but we had settled down for the night. We had opted, because it was such a warm night, to sleep outside of our tents next to the campfire. It was cool. I mean, it was an October night, but it was still warm enough that we didn't need to be in the tents. So most of us just kind of got around the fire, pulled our sleeping bags up to where we were, comfortable. And just started to go to sleep. Well, about a little after midnight, I get up. I have to go to the bathroom. It happens. And I walk over to where we had put the cars, and I go about doing my business. And as I'm doing that, I notice the temperature start to drop because it got super cold all of a sudden. I looked over at the car, and I could actually see like little ice crystals and stuff starting to form on the windshield. Now, I'm saying this because it was interesting, and it just kind of added to the experience. Guys, when you're outside doing ghost hunts, when you're outside doing research, temperature variations are going to happen, and that is a natural thing. Temperatures can drop, 10, 20 degrees super fast, especially here in this area, and where we are in the South. So that probably wasn't paranormal. But as I'm standing there, I start kind of getting that kind of weird feeling like something's going on. And I start to walk back to the camp. My sleeping bag was near Seth. Seth is a guy that had been ghost hunting with me for a while. We did a ton of EVP experiments, looked into different investigations for different types of things. But he was a pretty experienced ghost hunter. And as I got back, I started hearing something. And Seth motions for me to stop. And it sounds like someone is walking into our camp. And as we sit there, we start hearing a little bit more. And it sounds like several people are walking into our camp. And then we hear horses. So it sounds like several people with horses are going right by the trail that is in our camp. There is no one there. No apparitions, no people, no normal, air quoting normal explanation for what was happening. We just sat there and we listened to what sounded like a very large group of individuals and horses stroll past our camp. It sounded just like they were there. We could not see anything. Some of the kids had woken up, and the ages on the boys were like between 11 and I believe our oldest was 17. Had woken up. Some of them got kind of freaked out. So we had, I think two of the boys were crying, which we, tried to calm them down. But, it was a really interesting experience with the, I guess, a mounted division or whatever you would call it of soldiers. This is us guesstimating from Civil War time, since that was a battlefield, and we do know that soldiers were going through that area in formation. Just a really, really cool experience for us and for the boys. And I think one or two parents woke up and experienced that. So it was a lot of us hearing the same thing. It wasn't just me one night or me and Seth. It was a group of us that had heard those horses and those people walking by. So it was just a really cool, super spooky experience. I mean, the hairs on the back of your neck stand up because it's something that you're not expecting, and it's something that you're not really really looking to happen. But it's a really cool experience and it has a natural explanation. So we're going to take a, quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about what we believe residual hauntings are, how we look into them, and some like key characteristics. Hey guys, welcome back. So you just heard the story of a repeat haunting. So you kind of get an idea of what you're going to experience if you do run into this type of thing, or if you're experiencing something like this in your home that is just replaying over and over and over again. Hopefully that puts your mind at ease a little bit. It's not actually an entity or any sort of presence or personality or intelligence that is in your home or your property. It's just something that is caught and plays over and over again. It's not, nor has it ever been, a living, active thing. So how do repeat hauntings happen? And this is the exciting part that I like to do because we get to geek out and kind of get into the science of how this happens. Air quotes on science. Basically, when conditions are right in an area and a lot of energy is exerted, we found that it can be trapped and play over and over again like a tape. Think of like a natural GIF where things just play over and over and over again. So we'll take an example of a suicide or a murder, because most of these hauntings, most of these stories and lore around it revolve around some sort of violent, unexpected death. So we'll keep in that vein. So someone dies unexpectedly. There is a tremendous amount of energy that's exerted, from super high emotions, fear, maybe some regret, maybe guilt, whatever's being felt there. It is trapped in the Earth's natural electromagnetic field and the natural energy fields of that area. And when triggered by certain triggers, maybe a thunderstorm, maybe it plays over and over on the anniversary of when it happened. Different stories have different triggers. It just plays over. And it's not actually a person's soul. It's not actually the spirits of the dead. It's not actually anything that even has an intelligence. It's just basically a GIF or a VHS tape that's being triggered. Somebody hit the play button, something happened and it hit the play button, and it's just playing over. Now, there are certain environmental factors that we've noticed around a lot of these hauntings, including large limestone deposits, underground springs, and again, large amounts of energy that are felt or exerted in these areas that contribute to residual style hauntings. Now, guys, these hauntings are incredibly rare. This activity is incredibly rare, and it's hard to study, which is why there's so many legends and so many different things out there about trying to find out what's going on, saying that souls are trapped, saying a bunch of different stuff. But from what we have seen, as ghost hunters, parapsychologists, most agree that it is just an event that has somehow been trapped in history, or trapped in an event from history that's been trapped in a location that just triggers and repeats. So what do you do if you see it? If you've got a building where it's happening and it's bothering you, guys, if you tear down the building, it's still going to happen. This has actually happened where buildings are torn down because there's a phantom of a woman who walks up and down the stairs or just walks back and forth in the house. After the house has come down, people still see the woman, still see the apparition or ghost walking the halls that are no longer there. So she ascends a staircase that is gone, walks on the second story or where the second story of the house would be, and it just continues to play like it would if the house was still standing, because that specific, I don't want to say entity, but that specific phenomenon is not interacting with anything in our world, because it is just a recording or a repeat. So if you're experiencing this and you're like, oh my God, I'm just going to tear down the house to get rid of it, that's not going to work. We don't really have a way to get rid of it because it's just a natural phenomenon. So don't let it freak you out. If you are listening to this podcast because you're experiencing something similar, and you're looking for help and it's freaking you out, just my advice in that situation is just to remember that it's not a ghost, as far as you know, it's not a soul or something. It's a little spooky and it's unsettling when you experience it, but it's not really anything to be afraid of. So just try to get past it. If you can't, you know, we don't really have a way to get rid of that. Do some research though. This is something that's pretty cool with residual hauntings, because it's not something that's going to interact with you. So if you do want to learn more about it, if you say you have a house where you have someone walking the halls, or you have something weird that's going on, look up previous occupants of the house and see if you can find some photos, see if you can find anything that's going to lead you to who that is. Especially if it's the type of haunting where you have an apparition where you can actually see the person, or if you've been able to kind of pick things up in photographs or whatever. Hit public records. Go to your county's property assessor office. Look at the tax records for the property to get names of old occupants. Reach out to people that have been at the house before. Just give them a call. Shoot them a message through social media if you can find them, and ask them if they had experienced that, or if any of them actually know who it is, because it might not have been an occupant, but someone who was there at the house. And like I said before, maybe they didn't actually die. So maybe this is someone who is alive, but had, something happened that was super emotional while they were walking around in the hall, and for some reason it just got stamped there. And that particular moment is just playing over and over and over again. And that is a repeat style haunting. And if you have that going on, that is my advice on how to handle that. Just look into the history, see if you can find out who it is, because it is something that's happening that is natural. It is not supernatural, paranormal in any way. It is just a natural phenomenon that happens. If while you're looking into it, things change and you thought it might have been a repeater, but then suddenly you have some other activity going on where you think it's something, reach out to a group that's nearby, or shoot me an email on the podcast, ghosthunteradvice@gmail.com. I'll be happy to set you up with someone or come help you if I can. But that is what I would do if I had this type of thing going on around me. Or for those of you out there that are ghost hunters, if you do have something that is replaying over and over and over again, especially with a house, check with the property assessor for the county, get the names of previous occupants, previous owners, reach out to them, talk to them, see if anybody else had seen it. You're not going to get any EVPs really that are answering questions. You're not going to get anything interacting with you. So if you want the history of this and to find out who it is, you're going to have to hit the records and get a little bit of dust on you to figure that out. Guys, that's this show. And that is residual hauntings and basically what I have to say on them. If you guys have any questions or you would like to reach out, follow the link in the show notes. Leave me a audio message or a voice message. If you want, I'll play it on air and I'll answer your questions. Guys, if you are out there, you're having fun, please be careful while doing this. Not just that, you know, paranormal stuff is dangerous, but a lot of these houses and places, they can be unsafe structurally. So just pay attention to your surroundings when you're out there. Whenever you see something, take a second and think. Most people, when they see a residual haunting like this, it cannot hurt you. It cannot interact with you in any way. They'll freak out and fall downstairs. They'll freak out and run into a wall and break their nose. I have seen both of those things happen. So whenever you're out in the field looking into this, keep your wits about you. Pay attention to your surroundings and be safe. Guys, if you want to read the blog, go to ghosthunteradviceblog.wordpress.com. Email me at ghosthunteradvice@gmail.com. And I will talk to you guys next week. Happy hunting.